Jeremiah chapter 36. There are some long and difficult names in this passage. I will probably get at least three or four wrong. Please feel free to come up and explain to me afterwards which ones I did. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll. Write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah. And while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on the scroll. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, I am restricted. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting. Read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord, and each will turn from his wicked ways, for the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. Baruch, son of Neriah, did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do. At the Lord's temple, he read the words of the Lord from the scroll. On the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, a time of fasting before the Lord was proclaimed for all the people in Jerusalem and those who come from the towns of Judah. From the room of Gemariah, son of Shaphan, the secretary, which was in the upper courtyard at the entrance of the new gate of the temple, Baruch read to all the people at the Lord's temple the words of Jeremiah from the scroll. When Micaiah, son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll, he went down to the secretary's room in the royal palace where all the officials were sitting. Elishama, the secretary, Deliah, son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, son of Achbor, Gemariah, son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, son of Hananiah, and all the other officials. After Micaiah told them everything he had heard, Baruch read to the people from the scroll. All the officials sent Jehudi, son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, to say to Baruch, bring the scroll from which you've read to the people and come. So Baruch, son of Neriah, went to them with the scroll in his hand. They said to him, sit down, please, and read it to us. So Baruch read it to them. When they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear. Said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. Then they asked Baruch, tell us, how did you come to write all this? Did Jeremiah dictate it? Yes, Baruch replied. He dictated all these words to me, and I wrote them in ink on the scroll. Then the officials said to Baruch, you and Jeremiah, go and hide. Don't let anyone know where you are. After they put the scroll in the room of Elishama, the secretary, they went to the king in the courtyard and reported everything to him. The king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and Jehudi brought it from the room of Elishama, the secretary, and read it to the king and all the officials standing beside him. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in a brazier in front of him. When Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them with a scribe's knife, threw them into the fire until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear. Nor did they tear their clothes. Even though Elnathan, Delilah, Gemara urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. Instead, the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of the king, Shariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, son of Abdiel, to arrest Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord had hidden them. After the king burned the scroll containing the words that Barak had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll. Write on it all the words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burnt up. Also tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is what the Lord says. You burned that scroll and said, why did you write on it that the king of Babylon would certainly come and destroy this land, cut off both men and animals from it? Therefore, this is what the Lord says to Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He will have no one to sit on the throne of David. His body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat by day and the frost by night. I will punish him and his children and his attendants for their wickedness. I will bring on them and those living in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I pronounced against them, because they have not listened. So Jeremiah took another scroll, gave it to the scribe Barak, son of Neriah. And as Jeremiah dictated, Barak wrote on it all the words on the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And many similar words were added to them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that we may listen to it. But not just that we may hear it with our ears. We may believe that you may reach into our hearts and change us as a result of what we understand. Lord, may we be transformed and renewed by you from what we learn about you in your word. Amen. Do you remember your first comedies that you saw on television when you were growing up? First kind of films you kind of sat down. I can remember sitting down watching with my dad. There's a couple of ones that kind of spring out. Morecambe and Wise, everybody saw those. But the one that really stuck out was my dad going, oh, we've got to watch this. Dad's Army. I used to love watching Dad's Army. It was great. It was really well written. They had really great kind of dialogues going on. But what I really loved about Dad's Army was the people in it. Okay? Because they had such really good characters. They had a Captain Mannering. So pompous and kind of full of himself. And then you had Sergeant Wilson, who was used to be dithering everywhere and things like that. Corporal Jones, half a second behind everybody else every time they came to attention. Okay, and then you had Walker. Okay, remember Walker? Could get you anything you wanted. Pike, one of my favourites to this day. If I do something particularly daft, my father will just look over and go, stupid boy. Remember that? But there was one character that I really... he was so well observed. And that was Fraser. Fraser, the dour Scotsman. Every week, Captain Mannering and the platoon would get in some sort of trouble. And you could count on it that Fraser would pop up at some point and go, we're doomed. We're all doomed. And he seemed to take great delight in it, didn't he? It was almost as though he went through life waiting to tell people that they were doomed. It was all going to go wrong. We're doomed. You know, the sad thing is that some people look at Jeremiah and they see, and they read Jeremiah's book, and they feel that Jeremiah is one of those people that just likes to say, you're doomed. You're all doomed. In fact, Jeremiah gets described as the prophet of doom. And I really don't think that's fair on him. See, as you read Jeremiah's book, as you read this account of his life, you realize actually, Jeremiah has one goal in mind. Jeremiah looks at God's people and he says, you have gone far from God. You have turned against him, and there is a judgment against you. There is a doom set against you. But Jeremiah tells them, not because he wants to revel in it, not because he wants to sit there and go, you're doomed. Jeremiah does what he does, goes out and tells the people, does all these things for one reason and one reason alone. He wants to bring God's people back to God. That's why he does this. That's the purpose behind what he does. He wants God's people to come back to God because they've gone away from him. And he can see it. And he can see how upset God is. Because God tells him. And Jeremiah's job is to go out there and say, look, please, come back to God. You are under God's judgment. And you need to see that. You know, Jeremiah lived in what we would call interesting times. Interesting times are when lots of things happen that make people very nervous. And that's what was going on for Jeremiah. He starts his ministry in the reign of Josiah. Okay, now Josiah is a young king. Becomes king when he's very young, and he says, look, we're going to turn back to God. As a nation, we will turn back to God. And Josiah brings in reforms that say, look, you are God's people. We will come back to him. It's during the reign of Josiah that someone's in the temple and they're going through the old scrolls in the temple, and as they're pulling them out, having a look, suddenly they go, look at this. Look at this. It's the book of the law. Probably Deuteronomy. They hadn't found this scroll for years. Now suddenly they had the book of the law. And they take it to Josiah and they're going, look, this is the law. And Josiah opens the scroll and he starts to read it. And his face falls. These are the things we should be doing. And Josiah goes, we haven't been doing these things. We've not been following God. Josiah tears his clothes. He says, get everybody together. He says, I want Israel to know about this. He says, get everybody to come to Jerusalem. Read out this scroll to them. Let people know what they should be doing to follow God. And Josiah pulls the people back and says, come on, follow God. Obey his commands. But Josiah is killed in battle. At that time, there are three powers in that area. Egypt, strong and mighty nation still. Up in the very north, the Assyrians are brutal people. And a new power that's rising, Babylon. And in fact, those traditional enemies, Assyria and Egypt, have actually joined together. They've actually come together and said, we'll work together to stop the Babylonians becoming too powerful. Josiah is killed as an Egyptian army moves north to meet up with the Assyrians and attack the Babylonians. His son reigns for 3 months. And then the Egyptians come into the court and say, right, we want our own person here. And Josiah's other son, the king's brother, is put onto the throne, Jehoiakim. But he is Egypt's choice. He is Egypt's man. And Jeremiah is still prophesying at this time. And so in a court which is flooded with Egyptian influence, which is scared of the growing power of the Babylonian nation, Jeremiah has this job to do. He goes into that court and he tells them, you are under judgment. You have failed to listen to God. You do not follow him. And there is judgment coming even now. And where is it coming? From Babylon. From the north, he says, which is where the Babylonian army would have to go up and then sweep down through. Jeremiah has the job of telling a court held in thrall to the Egyptians that they are under judgment and it will come from the north. Can you imagine how popular Jeremiah was? we know that very early on, he was banned from coming into the king's presence. In fact, it seems like he's banned from every major place. Chapter 36, Jeremiah says, I am restricted. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. They put a ban upon his movements. They put a ban upon him speaking. Jeremiah, shut up. You're rocking the boat. But the Lord has given Jeremiah something to say. And the Lord says, I know you can't speak. Don't you worry about that, Jeremiah. Go and get a scribe. We'll write it down. And he writes down on a scroll all these prophecies that the Lord has given him that say, you are under judgment. And he says to Barak, now go and read that. And Barak chooses a feast day. Or he's told to go on a feast day. That's when all the people will be coming in from the surrounding villages and towns. And he sits there in an upper room, possibly looking out over the temple, so that the people could hear him speak. And he starts to read from this scroll, and pretty soon a crowd gathers. They're listening to these words. And you can imagine somebody going, do the officials know about this? Do they know about this? Do they know what Barak's saying? Somebody goes and reports to them, and they come out and they listen, and they're horrified. Barak, come here. Come and read this scroll. And he takes it to the officials in the temple, and they sit down and they hear the words. And their reaction is horror. Why? Are they scared about the king finding out? No. Their reaction is horror because they suddenly realize where they stand before God. We are under judgment. They check the source. Barak, where did this come from? Did Jeremiah do this? Yes. All right. That's come from God. We must tell the king. And they take it to the king. And the king sits there. He's got a fire burning in front of him in probably a small metal container type thing, just to keep himself warm. And as the scribe unrolls the scroll and reads off each section, the king takes a scribe's knife, a sharp knife used for cutting parchment, and he just slices a section off and he throws it into the fire as though to say, look, your prophecies, I will burn them so they don't come true. I'm in charge. And he burns the entire scroll up. Now, bring me Jeremiah. Bring me Barak. Let's stop this now, but the Lord has hidden them. And then God says to Jeremiah, write another scroll. And you can hear Barak going, oh, just finish the last one. The Lord says, write another scroll, and we're going to add even more to it, because people need to know. It's an interesting story, isn't it? 3,000-4,000 years ago, a king in a country far, far away burnt a scroll. What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with us today? See, the thing is God didn't just cause those events to happen. He caused them to be written down so that we'd read about them, so that we would know what occurred, so that we could learn from them. God says, look, I put it in my word because I want you to know about this. I want you to learn and understand from what happened then, because it means something to us today. Jeremiah finds himself living in a time like this. A time when, a generation or two earlier, the places of worship have been full. From the very highest person in the land, there had been a movement that said, let us follow God. Let us understand what he requires of us. Let us serve him. But in only a few short generations, that had completely changed. Now the places of worship seem quieter. In fact, Barak was sent there on a feast day because they knew that's when people would gather. from the very highest person in the land, people had turned against God, were no longer willing to listen. And what they wanted to hear was that they were okay, that they were getting by. What they did not want to hear, what Jeremiah was given to say, was this: the lip service that you pay to God is not acceptable to him. You go through the motions. You turn up occasionally to worship him. But you know what? It's not acceptable to God. And because of that, there's a judgment against you. In our land, a few generations ago, our churches had larger congregations. In our land a few generations ago, people in high senior positions in our land were following God and speaking out about it, and were quite happy to be known to be Christians and believers. We find ourselves in a situation where every year they report fewer and fewer people coming to church. Where from the highest place in our land, we see laws and commands coming out that seem opposed to what we believe. Where people seem content to say, it's all right, I go along to church occasionally. I'm there for the feast days, for Christmas Day. Where the one thing that people do not want to hear is this: that the lip service that they pay to God is not acceptable. I don't think we live in a situation that is very different from that in which Jeremiah finds himself. So what does Jeremiah do? Well, number one, he is given a command to speak from the Lord. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you. Jeremiah is commanded by God to speak. He's given a job. Go and tell people. Now, it is very easy for us to look at that and go, there you go. That's the job of the specialist. There are people who are called to do that. In the book of Joel, there is a prophecy. The book of Joel, there is a prophecy that says, in the final days, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. You see, in the Old Testament, as you read here, it's evident that the Lord's spirit comes upon certain people at certain times. You'll read it, there'll be an account, and it will say, talk about Elijah, the spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he did something amazing. But there was always this promise in the Old Testament that said, there will come a day when God's Spirit will be poured out on all of his people. And they will do amazing things. That's what Peter says. Day of Pentecost. When they come bursting out from that room. And there's people standing there and they start proclaiming about God. And about Jesus Christ to everybody. And he says, do you know what today is? It's the day prophesied in Joel. God's Spirit poured out on all people. If we are believers, if we are Christians, God's Spirit is poured out on us. And just as the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and gave him a mission, we too have received a mission to tell the world where they stand before God. And there's a purpose behind it as well, isn't it? Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. God desires nothing more than people to come back to him, to return to him. And that is our message. But at times we have to tell them what the consequences of their rebellion are as well. It's what Jeremiah does. And it's very easy to talk to other people and say, okay, I know I should be telling people about God. I know I should be telling them about salvation. I know I should be telling them about what Jesus Christ came to do. It is very simple for us to talk about God's love and tell people how much God loves them, because he does. And how much he desires to have them back, because he does. there are times as well when we will have to tell people that unless they turn back to him, they are under God's judgment. I have a friend of mine who's a pilot. Pilots get downtime when they spend time sitting in a hotel room somewhere in a foreign country where they have to wait. And so he spends a lot of time reading. And he spends time debating on the internet and debating Christianity with people who don't believe. He was speaking at a prayer meeting recently. And he said that what he's now started doing is not just speaking to people at the other side of the world on the internet. He's now doing exactly the same with his friends, with his colleagues. And he said it's really tough. But he said, do I love my friends enough to tell them where they stand before God? Do I love my friends enough to tell them where they stand before God? I look back on how I became a Christian, and I know that part of that came to the fact that somebody told me where I stood before God. A member of our youth group was describing how he became a Christian recently. They were playing a game called Rocky Road, where you have to choose between two things, and you run from one side of the room to the other, and you get a big group of young people, and you go, okay, Rice Krispies, Corn Flakes, and they have to choose. If you like Rice Krispies, you run that way. If you like Corn Flakes, you run that way. And they were playing this game, and it was great fun. It was a good laugh. And then the guy running this said, love God, hate God. He said, I stood in the middle of the room. I knew I didn't hate God, but I couldn't say I was there. Being put upon the spot for him, he said, I needed that. I needed to be placed in that position where I had to say, here's where I stand before God. Jeremiah is persistent. Jeremiah is persistent. When that scroll is burnt, does Jeremiah go, well, that's it. I've done it. I can tick the little box that says, have you told the people? Jeremiah is persistent. He says, I will carry on telling people where they stand before God because they need to know. Because I care so much about God's people. I care so much about the people that walk past my door every day. I care so much about them that I want them to know where they stand before God. Jeremiah is persistent and he keeps on going. And Jeremiah sees encouragements. Very easy to look at this story and you just focus upon that scroll being burnt. The king who sits there and does nothing. What about those officials? What about those people who heard God's word and were horrified because they realized where they stood before God? You know, there will be people that will not listen, but there will be people that do. You look at Josiah. Look at the contrast between Josiah and his son Jehoiakim. Josiah, hearing God's word, tears his robes. Jehoiakim tears up the scroll. Jehoiakim says, we must stop the people from finding out about this message. So we burn it. Josiah says, everybody must hear about this. I must get this message out. There will be discouragements, but there will be encouragements as well. It is a hard thing for us to do. But the Lord asks us to go out there and tell people where they stand before God. And the truth is this, according to God's word, if people are not turning to God, then they really are doomed. And therefore God says, I want you, God's people, to tell people of my love, my care, my compassion, my grace, and how much I desire them to come back. And he sends us out, like Jeremiah, and says, spread my word. The question for us is this: do we love our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues? Do we love people who do not know our Lord and Saviour? Do we love them enough to tell them clearly where they stand before God?